You know, living an empowered life is one of the most precious possessions to have and to enjoy. But we need the Holy Spirit to just do that. The scriptures say, without me, you can do nothing. But with me, you can do anything. We are familiar with the saying, promises are made to be broken. Have you heard about that? And I won't be surprised, Eve, based from your experience, a lot of people would subscribe to it. And right now, I am holding this book that I bought online. On August 3, I ordered this book from Amazon. And as soon as I finalized my order, I got an email saying, your Amazon.com.au order of the teaching ministry of the church and creative Bible teaching has been shipped. So I feel so good. It's been shipped. But in that email as well was a promise that the book will arrive on Thursday, the 15th of August. The next day, the 4th of August, another email from Amazon came in. And the email says this. I'm going to read this to you. Hello, we're writing to let you know that we process your refund. I was like, refund? This refund is for the following, and the name of the book. A reason for refund. Item out of stock. it was a bit of a worry because this book was the major textbook out of the three that we have. So I went online. I panicked. I went online to search other bookstores, but they all say the same thing. Item out of stock. So just at that point, I began to think, why would my professor would prescribe this book if this would be out of stock everywhere? And so I thought, I searched the ORU library for the book, and yeah, they got it there on the shelf. So on the 8th of August, I requested the library if they can lend me a copy of for the whole term. And I got a reply the next day, and this is what she says, I'm sorry you're having trouble getting your textbook. The library's copy of this book is in such a high demand that it is reserved for in-library use only. I'm a distance student. So it is not allowed to be taken out of the library. I spoke with the head of the bookstore who recommended that you consult your success coach who will be able to help you acquire the books you need. And she gave me the link. And she also gave me the link of the bookstore. Oh, I didn't bother calling and asking the success coach because I was in a panic mode. So I clicked the link and went straight to the bookstore, the ORU bookstore. The 12th of August, I received a reply. Imelda, we've received your order. And if shipped today by 2 p.m. USA time, and by economy, it will arrive on the 19th of August by 6 p.m. And yes, it did arrive 4 days earlier than what they promised, which is a very positive outcome. They over-delivered what they promised. Praise God. Two online shops gave each a promise to deliver me the book. One broke their promise, and the other fulfilled their promise. Now I know where to go next time. What did I learn from that experience? I learned that the fulfillment of my promise solely depends on who made the promise. In the Bible, God gave thousand promises, and have fulfilled every single one of them. Praise God. And still, there are times when we are when we give in to temptation to doubt the promises of God, even though we know that thousands of them have been fulfilled by God. And sometimes there are times when we give in to temptation to doubt the promises of God and God altogether. God altogether. Some may question if the Bible is true. Some people question if God is true. Some people question whether the miracles of God are true. I say we should not. We should not. It disheartens the heart of God. It breaks the heart of God. Because we can fully rely on the promises of God. If you open your Bible in Luke chapter 24, verse 44 to 49, I'd like you to go there because Luke wrote the words of Jesus to his disciples about the promise of the Father. Let's go to Luke 24, 48, 44 to 49. I'm going to read this to you and you can look at the screen. Verse 44, he says, when he opened their minds, when Jesus opened their minds, and this story is a post-resurrection story of Jesus Christ. And this is what he said. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. I am thankful to God that he is going to do the same to us today, that he will open our minds. I have already opened our minds so that we can understand the message of the Lord for you and for me and for every one of us here today. Verse 46, he told them, Jesus told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Verse 47, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We know that the first church started in Jerusalem. Verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. These things referred to verse 44 to verse 47. And now we go to verse 49. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But not yet. Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Just the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is central to our Christian faith and our doctrine. The religious people tried to reject it. The Roman government 2,000 years ago tried to deny it. So they bribed the Roman soldiers to silence their testimony. But Jesus appeared to his disciples in several occasions immediately after he came back from the grave. And he fellowshiped with his disciples and to other 500 people in flesh and blood. Can you touch yourself if you have flesh and blood? You have flesh and blood? That means you're a human being. Well, Jesus fellowship with his disciples and with a crowd of 500 in flesh and blood after he came back from the grave. So his death and his resurrection is not a fallacy. It is real and it is true that he came back flesh and blood. Not just in his spirit, but flesh and blood. And when his time on earth was up, he met with his disciples. And now we reach this text. He met with his disciples to prove to his disciples that everything that was written about him by the prophets in Psalms, in the Old Testament, they were all true. They're all true. And to remind them of who they were now, they were witnesses of these things. They were witnesses of Jesus Christ in flesh and blood. They were witnesses of the power of Jesus Christ performed signs and wonders, the healing of the sick, the preaching of the word, the teaching of the word in power and authority that nobody in human flesh have ever done. They were all witnesses of all these things. And to remind them of the most important the Father. And this promise is important. You know, with my textbook, that promise that I'm going to deliver this book on the 15th of August was very important to me because my class starts tomorrow. If someone say to you, if you order, you know, if you order food from somebody, like my sister Nene, she makes really nice food. We order food from her. And if you say, okay, Paul, I will Saturday, you can pick up the food at 10 o'clock in the morning. Trust me, she's ready at 10 o'clock in the morning. And so this promise is important for his disciple to receive. Because without receiving this promise of the Father, they will be powerless. They will have no power. And as they were witnesses of all the things written about Jesus and said about Jesus, Jesus would be sending them out to the world for the second time and for good, for the rest of all generations that succeed from them. The first one was recorded by Luke in Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 11. If you turn your Bible, Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 11, we can read from this text, from this verse, that the Jesus sends out 72 of his other disciples, and that was the very first time that Jesus sent out people, disciples and believers, out of his presence to go and impact the nations, to go and impact the world. Jesus sends out the 72. Verse 10, it says, verse 1 of chapter 10, look, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, the harvest praise God. You will never run out of harvest. You will never run out of harvest because the harvest is plentiful. What are we running out of? But the workers. We're running out of workers. But the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. And if someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Verse 7 says, stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you. So if you go as a missionary, don't be ashamed to eat and drink whatever they offer you. Because Jesus said, just take it. For the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. And when you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is offered to you. So don't feel bad, don't feel ashamed if you eat their food. Amen? Because Jesus said, he provided for you through these people. Heal the sick, praise God. Healing. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your own town will wipe, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. Verse 17, if we jump to verse 17, the 72 returned. After they have done that, they came back, they returned, and they returned with joy. And they said to Jesus, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. What a demonstration of power. Simple people, just like you and me, they were sent by Jesus, and they came back with joy because what Jesus said to them, it happened. It was fulfilled. They submit to us in your name. Verse 18, we replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And verse 19, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Verse 20, however, despite of all these signs and wonders, however, do not rejoice that the Spirit submits to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Jesus is saying, your name being listed and written in heaven is much more important than any signs and wonders in the world, because your name being written in the heaven is one of the greatest signs and wonders that God is alive. Hallelujah. Sometimes we chase miracles, or we forget to chase the one who does the miracle. This is exactly the point of Jesus there. When you go out, don't just give them miracles. Don't let people just chase miracles. Let them chase me, who can give them the miracles, so that when you are not there anymore, they will still have an avalanche of miracles, because I am there who can do miracles for them. And then he turned to his disciples and he said privately, verse 23, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. You must see first Jesus so you can see the rest of what Jesus has to offer. And the disciples, back in Luke 24, verse 44 to 49, they were to do the same. They ought to do the same. They have to go out. They have to spread the word about Jesus. And they have to heal the sick. They were to do the same. But this time, it was going to be different, because Jesus would not be there physically. He's not going to be there with them. And they need the same power from on high. And a proclamation has to be made. But they would have to wait before they could do what they could not do. They must have that same power. And the power referred to here in the original Greek translation is dunamis. D-U-N-A-M-I-S. Verse 49 of our text in Luke 24. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power, until you have been clothed with dunamis from on high. Dunamis has various usage in the New Testament language, and the most prominent among them refers to miraculous power. Miraculous power. Miraculous power. Power in action, as in performing miracles. That's the kind of power that Jesus was telling his disciples to wait for. Wait for that power that will enable you to perform miracles. And that power is not the power of this world. That power is from above. We cannot invent that power. You cannot buy that power. You cannot get that from anywhere. They don't sell that online. You won't get that from Amazon. You will not get that from reading many books. You're not going to get that from doing anything. That power has to come from above. So literally, you're not looking at the power. You're looking at the one from above that will give you the power. And Jesus said, wait for this promise of the Father. So what is this promise of the Father? In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, 29, there we find the promise of the Father. Let's go to Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 29, because we're trying to discover, what is this power? Who is this power? Who is this promise? Then after doing all those things, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Let's say, performing miracles. Your old men will dream dreams. Praise the Lord for the old men. Because even in your old days, you will still have dreams that is so big as God. Because that is the performing of His miracles. And your young men will see visions. Thank God for the young men and women in this place. Because God will give you visions that you cannot see with your naked eyes, visions that you can only see with the eyes of God. And in those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on servants, men and women alike. is not a respecter of person. I praise the Lord that the Spirit of God is not a respecter of gender. I praise the Lord that the Spirit of God does not disqualify anybody. I praise God that He is willing to come down unto every single person, every single individual who is ready, who is hungry, who is welcoming all of the Spirit of God in their lives where God can demonstrate His power, not of this world, but of high. Hallelujah! The presence of the Father is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. It is Him who will clothe you with power. And without Him, there is no power. The Holy Spirit brings the power. Do you want to live a life that is powerful? Do you like to live a life that is empowered? Well, you need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. You know, it's sad because for a very long time now we have believed the lie of the enemy, the lie of the devil, and we treated the Holy Spirit as if He was a force or a power instead of a person. You know, I quote from Pastor Benny Hinn. I love reading his books. I know we have a lot of differences, probably differences about his theology, but I love reading his books. God used him in my life in the earlier stage of my Christianity to understand the power of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is a power, we would want to get hold of it. If the Holy Spirit is a divine person, we would want Him to get hold of us. If the Holy Spirit is a power, we would want Him to accomplish our will and our wishes, our whims. You know, those little things that we have, at least our release, spiritual grocery release. But if the Holy Spirit is a divine person, we would want to surrender to Him more and more. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? If the Holy Spirit is a power, we would be proud to have it. Because we have so much power, we will become arrogant to have it. We would feel superior to those who do not. And we will look down on those who seem to have not to have the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is a divine person, we'll be humble that He dwell in us. It will keep us humble. He will keep us humble. Pastor Benny Hinn said that the reason so many wonderful miracles take place in his crusades is because of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, like Yahweh, like the Son, Jesus Christ, is a person. He's not a force. He's not an influence that will just influence you. It's not the influence. It's the influencer. He is a person. He is will. He has an intellect. He has a mind. He has an emotion. He has a will. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Paul wrote, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. If you are a child of God, you're a born-again believer, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit so that when Jesus returns, He knows that you belong to Him because you have the seal of the Holy Spirit. In the Godhead, the Holy Spirit is the one we are told and we are warned not to grieve, not to hurt, not to offend. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, you grieve the Father and you grieve the Son, because together they are one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. That's why when you have the Holy Spirit, you understand God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one as He determines. Who determines what you get? As a born-again believer, who determines what you get? Look. Who determines the gift that you have? Is the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit. Whatever the Holy Spirit will to give you, that's what you get. Amen? But above all else, He longs to fellowship with you and with me. And He longs to bring you into the very presence of God. We sang songs earlier, and you know what? Who brought us? It's the Spirit of God that brought us into that atmosphere where you can freely worship the Lord. It is the Holy Spirit who makes the Father and who makes the Son so real, so true in our hearts and in our lives. That's why the Apostle Paul said, and he urged us, believers, to experience the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, this is what he said. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. The grace come from Jesus Christ, the love come from God, but the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is what he wants us to have. He wants us to enjoy that fellowship with the Holy Spirit. When you do your devotion, when you read your Bible, when you speak about, when you are witnessing to someone, when you are telling all these things, the death, the resurrection, and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are witnessing, when you're telling your God story, when you are praying to God, when you are doing all the spiritual things that you cannot do on the flesh, you are fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. You and the Holy Spirit are working together. That's why it is effective. That's why it is powerful. Why? Because you have God with you. Amen? And he said, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's why we come together. That's why we gather together. We gather in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And when you gather in the presence of God, all hell break loose. All chains are gone. All bondages are broken. All diseases are gone. Healing takes place. Salvation takes place. Opening of the mind takes place. Our burdens are lifted. Our hope is rebuilt. Our life is restored. That's what happens when we gather in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it is better that I go away. It is better that you don't see me here. Because when I go, then I send you another helper, another advocate, someone who is the same as me, but is not me. Do you understand? Someone who is the same as me, but is not me. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. Let's go there. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. On one occasion, this is Luke again. Luke again, retelling the story, reminiscing the story when Jesus was here. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, while Jesus was eating with the disciples, he gave them this command. It is not a suggestion. It is not a proposition. It is not an idea. It is a command. He's telling you what you have to do. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John, verse 5, for John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit after a few days. John came and he was sent to baptize you with water. baptize you in water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So I would like you to pay attention that Jesus draws a clear distinction between water baptism and baptism of the Holy Spirit. They are not the same. They are not the same. I know that some churches believe that water baptism and spirit baptism are the same. But as Pentecostals, we believe, based on the scripture, based from the scriptures, that they are two separate events. They are two separate experiences in the life of a believer. Water baptism is a baptism that relates to our repentance. It relates to our salvation. When you are saved, when you experience the salvation of Jesus Christ, when you get saved, then you must be baptized. Because water baptism, being baptized in water, is an outward manifestation and of inward work of God in you. The baptism in the Holy Spirit or baptism with the Holy Spirit is a valid Holy Spirit experience where the Spirit comes upon you to immerse you in His anointing power, to turn you into a useful witness for Christ. It is unique. It is independent of your salvation experience. But it is subsequent to your regeneration. Make sense? And this is what Jesus meant when He told His disciples to wait before they could embark on a miracle-working assignment. You know, to change the world, to change someone's life, that job cannot be done, me. You can talk and talk and talk. You can counsel and counsel. You can pray and pray. You can do any stuff that you like to do in your own. But without the Spirit of God, without you being immersed in the Spirit of God, there is no power. There is no miracle. And God wanted that we do nothing in the flesh. That's what God wants us to do. He does not want you and me to do anything from the flesh. Even leading worship here, He doesn't want us to do it in the flesh. Even you standing there, He doesn't want you to worship Him in the flesh. He wants you to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Even when you lay hands on the sick, He doesn't want you to do it on your flesh. That's why we don't exalt the person that God used. We thank God for the person that God used, but we exalt the one who used that person. And sometimes we mix the miracles with God. We interchange the two. We exalt the God of miracles for showing us the miracles. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We need to be clothed with miraculous power that only the Holy Spirit can give. The Holy Spirit wants to anoint you with His power to give you victory over temptation when you cannot. You cannot say no to the temptation. Do not forget that God is with you. Do not forget that the Holy Spirit is just right there waiting for you to say, "Help, Holy Spirit, what should I do? Lord, what should I do right now? I am struggling with this addiction. I am struggling with this decision. I'm struggling with this pain. I'm struggling with this hurt." All you need to do is ask the Holy Spirit, the another helper that is side by side with you. And when you do that, Jesus will become so real to you. God the Father will become so real to you. God the Father will become so genuine to you. Hallelujah. He will fill you with wisdom. He will fill you with understanding. When you read this Bible and you cannot understand it, you just don't dive in the Bible without you asking the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, would you teach me? I don't understand this, but I know that you do. Because you were the one who authored this book. You were the one who wrote it. You were the one who empowered 40 different writers to write it. You were the one, it was our idea to proclaim and to magnify Jesus in the Word. Who is the Word? It was your idea, Holy Spirit. So help me, God, because I don't understand. I don't even have a clue. Is this how I should interpret it? Holy Spirit, tell me. Holy Spirit, show me. Do I go to America? Do I go to Europe? Do I go to Asia? Where do you want me to go, Holy Spirit? I need you to guide me. I need you to help me. Do I break in this relationship? Do I do this? Do I do that? Help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. How many times in the week, how many times in the day that we do that? I don't know. But God is speaking to you and to my heart right now. Should we put back the Holy Spirit in our lives? Should we let Him be as He is in the Scripture? Should we make Him the Lord? Should we make Him God? Not just when you want Him to. Oh, how we need the Holy Spirit, because I've been praying to God, Lord, would you make my relationship with the Holy Spirit like that? Would you make my whole relationship with the Holy Spirit like that? How we need the Holy Spirit to quicken us, to confront us of our sins. Sometimes we ask, Lord, should I do this or should I not? You know that you shouldn't. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is already confronting you. The fact that you're asking yourself the question is the reality of the presence of the Holy Spirit telling you that you have to obey Him. Because if not, you will not even bother asking that question. And when He asks you that, when He leads you to ask that question, you must obey. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Because time will come that He will leave you. Time will come that He will not quicken you anymore, because He already told you many times, 1,000 times. But we praise God for the grace of God that is always there available for us, and every time we fail, He always is there. But we cannot abuse the grace of God. We cannot abuse the grace of God, and we must not abuse the grace of God. We are told by Ephesians, we are told by Paul, that we must not grieve the Holy Spirit, because the more that we deny Him, the more that we grieve Him. The more that we ignore Him, the more that we grieve Him. How many times the Holy Spirit has to tell you, don't buy lotto tickets? How many times the Holy Spirit told you to stop watching porn? How many times the Holy Spirit told you to stop reading gossip magazines? How many times the Holy Spirit told you to stop looking at the zodiac signs? How many times the Holy Spirit told you to stop going to places that gets you dirty? Time will come. We were given a warning not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Because it's just like you hurting the most important person in your life. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we are powerless. And the Holy Spirit, because He's holy, cannot and will not live in a stained container. That's why He said that we must be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ for us to really experience the power of the Holy Ghost. Everything we know, I like education. I know that there are a lot of intellectual people in this room this morning. I acknowledge that even our intellectual ability is the gift of the Holy Ghost. But even our own intellectual ability will not get us any far. I know that a lot of people here have a lot of good connections. You have friends who can give you a job. You have friends who can, you know, fast-track your career progress. Or get you connected to a businessman who can probably, you think that, can help you lift your business to the next level. But but it won't get us any far. We know the Holy Spirit by knowing Jesus. We know the Holy Spirit by knowing Jesus. If we want to know the Holy Spirit, we must begin to develop our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because as we develop our relationship with Jesus Christ, we develop our relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit came not to glorify himself, but to glorify Jesus. Amen? So see him in the same way as you see Jesus. As you see the Father, begin to look at the Holy Spirit like you look and how you respect Jesus and the Father. Do not downgrade the Holy Spirit. He is in equal footing with the Father and the Son. He is co-eternal, co-existent, co-equal with the Father and the Son. And that is the source of an empowered life. Source of empowered life. Promises are made not to be broken. Promises are made not to be broken. Promises are made to be fulfilled. Our last scripture for this morning is in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. You know, when God does something, he always makes sure that we get it. There's always a manifestation of it. And in this particular situation, he manifested through a seemingly tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them.